I'm assuming this is on. All right. The class is slowly shifting this direction, so I get to, like, it used to be that it was primarily right here. Now it's, no, I won't move because of the camera, but yeah, we have a few minutes over, so let's pray and we'll get started. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for all of the blessings that you've given this congregation as a whole. Lord, that we had the chance to see and to celebrate marriage, something you've instituted, you brought about, Lord, and we got to see and celebrate. We thank you for the gospel being preached at that time. We pray that it would take root in those who heard, Lord, for the flourishing of your congregation and those who believe, and salvation for those who heard for the first time or were convicted in a new way. We pray that we would see your word go out with effect. And Lord, bless us here this morning as we are here to hear from your word, to consider things of our lives. And then also, Lord, for the worship of our King and our Christ. So Lord, bless this time. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. So I assume everybody had a smidge of a panic whenever they saw the title of this morning on procrastination, what it means to be a tomorrower. But I had actually planned to do this with the foundations class, and I figured that I'd give kind of a good sneak peek into what the class ends up going through. And I'd hope that all of the men who go through the class end up coming home with good encouragement, good convictions to accomplish the overall task of leading in their homes. And one of the projects that's kind of one of our main projects, we have four of them, but is one called the family plan, which is just how do I lead in the context with which the Lord has given me. So it's focusing on establishing communication in the home, coordination, cooperation between everybody, so that as the leader, you're able to manage the home in a way that it goes forward and demonstrates godly leadership. So there's personal worship, there's family worship, there's the family plan, and then there's things of the scriptures. How do we grow in our ability to interact with the scriptures, read them, be able to metabolize them, share them with others? And I promise to the foundations guys, this topic on procrastination has nothing to do with the exegesis project. This was planned a while ago, so this is not for that. But really what the foundations is to help the men to be able to hear from their home, to hear from their family, to look around at their responsibilities and make sure that they're all on the up and up, that we're addressing the things that the Lord's given us. And so for the single men, it is, how do I build a home that would be God-honoring so that God would be honored to bring one of his daughters into that home? How do I build this up so that it is habitable for one of God's daughters? And I will tell you, the men are doing wonderful at this. The men tending to the things spiritually that he would be prepared to share and to lead. Tending to the small things so that the big things are taken care of. To the married men, that goes out to the wives. That goes to calming her fears, her anxieties, to facilitate her ministry, to fulfill the call of Ephesians 5, to wash her, to sanctify her in the washing of the word. So for the women who are to be home-focused, the man is also to make that a working habitation for her, to not neglect the home, but to make that a blessing for her, make sure it works for her. And so single men, married men, fathers. Oh, fathers, the time is fleeting, is it not? And there's things that we have to teach today that cannot be taught tomorrow. So we need to get about teaching and addressing the things that need to be or can be learned today. And tomorrow, does it have anxieties and pressures of its own? This is where there's mass participation. Is tomorrow going to have enough troubles of its own? Yes. So we want to begin today setting up what would be needed in the future. We don't want to show up to that day and realize we're ill-prepared. So something in our foundations of the family plan, the family worship, is how do I prepare my family now going forward that they would be ready when we get there? So this morning is one of our topics of the foundations, which is this great thief, this great nemesis. If I were to ask, or if I were to say, time is short, what comes to mind? Does this insinuate likely that I cannot get done everything that I want done because time is short? I'll go for a show of hands. How many, if I said time is short, said, I wish it was shorter? Depends on what we're doing. Between 8 and 5, possibly. Or if I said time is short, you'd say, well, I wish I had something to do during that short time because I've got nothing to do. That's not our testimony whenever we hear that. It's time is short is a statement of our limitation, of our regret, of the fleetingness of time, the vanity. It speaks of the grave. It speaks of the reality that life is not eternal here, but yet it was meant to be. Like we understand that there's something that, with time being limited, that there's an end to all of us. There's something in there that speaks to the reality of regret. There's many things we would want to get done. There's many things that we'd want to see through all the way to the end. But whenever time runs out, whenever time gets short, or we grow beyond the age with which we're able to accomplish it, there's a regret, there's a groaning in time being fleeting. And I would say that the loss of time, I won't look at anyone in particular, but consider the loss of time, or whenever time passes, the regret that is there. If you were to actually write down the things that you've done over the last week, or maybe you get the report, the weekly report from your phone that tells you what you've been doing all week, how often do we look at that with exhilaration saying, yes, I spent 19 hours on my phone this week, 14 hours, whatever it may be. Whenever we look at where time went or what it was spent doing, that often brings on this sense of regret because it's the one unrenewable resource. We can all make more money. We can all buy new possessions. We can sleep and re-energize. But can you renew the time? It's the one thing that whenever it's gone, it's gone. And then we're older for it. Whenever you're young, what do you hear from the older saints? They'll say something in relation to time, right? They'll tell you, it goes so fast. Time just whips by. And what they're trying to communicate, if you're under 18, what they're trying to communicate is, go fast and don't waste any of it. Because whenever you're not under 18, you realize that the things that you, the places you thought you would be in your accomplishments, where you thought you would go, you realize time has ticked past and there you are and what you wanted to accomplish is no longer even an option. She's grown. He's grown. You're too old. Your dreams of being in the NBA have passed you by. It was about 8th grade whenever they passed me by. Whenever I was not, well, I wasn't good enough, but at least I could make the excuse I wasn't tall enough. But I know why the coach sat me, I know. What's being communicated whenever we address time is that we cannot afford to waste it. Yet so much of our society is built around or is designed to do absolutely that. To waste your time. You think about the handy little devices we all carry around. And what is this is the phrase, fill in the blank, blank scrolling, doom scrolling. Why? Because as you go, and it's designed that way to keep you hooked to it, and you're just scrolling through it because you don't actually know what you're looking for. You don't know what's at the bottom of that, yet it has its grip on you. And the whole while you're doing it, what makes it dooming? Because while you're doing this, you're not doing something else. You're not doing what the Lord has called you to do or what the Lord has given you time to do. And that can even go for how it doesn't just have to be on the phone. It can be the way that we write our priority list, and we see number 10 is going to be the big one. So where do we start? Do we start with number 10, the big one? We make sure that's last on the list because we don't really want to face it. So we start off doing all of these other activities because that one is the one that stands out to me. So you have this in your notes. And if you look at the side with the fill-ins, that's going to be our first half this morning. The back side is going to be what you will fold in half and leave in your Bible and run across it in the future and say, ah, I will get to it. There's two categories. One is time wasted on useful activity. I put these in the opposite order. Time wasted on useless. So there goes my thunder. I just revealed the second one. The first is that there is time wasted on useless activity. These are things that are just of vanity. We do them. They provide nothing in return to us. But time has passed. We're over. We can make the case that maybe it's what we do in our relaxation. But even relaxation should have an energizing effect to it. These are the things that we just regret. It's just a waste. The other category is time wasted on useful activity. Time wasted on useless, time wasted on useful. Which could actually sound a little bit odd. How do I waste my time on useful activity? Well, that's what we're going to talk about. You have to give me a few to explain this in long form. But can we waste our time doing things that are good? So the word procrastination, it's one of our close cultural words. This is what it literally means. So pro, this is from the Latin into the French. We find it now in English. From pro, which means to go forward, to go forth, or this is for. And crastinus, which means of or belonging to tomorrow. So for, and it belongs to tomorrow. So procrastination, you put those together, and it is things for tomorrow. Or things that we should put forward for tomorrow. And one commentator actually titled it, what you have there on your paper, to be a tomorrower. Which I think is catchy enough. I think we can use that. The problem with tomorrow is that tomorrow never comes, right? Because once we get to that new day, tomorrow is tomorrow. But the Oxford Dictionary defines it this way. The act of delaying something that you should do, usually because you do not want to do it. And so my working definition for today is that which we know we are avoiding. So not all waiting, not all delay, not all planning things out for the future is sinful procrastination. But it's the things that we know we have the ability to do and we should do today, but we avoid it. That's our procrastination. So that's going to be my definition as we go through a few points here. So Caleb and I started talking about this. Procrastination is not an obvious sin. It's not going to be found in the concordance in that form. But whenever we are procrastinating, the delay, it feels real to us because we're busy, because we're active. So in general, why would you say, just throw them out there, why do we procrastinate? Don't want to do it. Carol shoots straight for the heart of this. Don't want to do it. I'm too tired. We're getting there. There's other things to do. The tyranny of the urgent. I lack the motivation. The Bible tells me. All right. So, yeah, we'll go with that. Lord, it's your fault. You told me to rest, and this is how I'm going to do it. I lack the discipline. I'm busy. I got interrupted. I don't really know how to do this yet. Am I getting paid for it? My daily schedule is full. Something else important came up. I'll have more time to focus on this later. I've already done so much. Yeah, Don, let's have a conversation afterwards. I don't even know if that's procrastination. I'm not going to do what I'm told. That sounds like abstinence. But we know that procrastination is really one of these respectable sins. And you know it's a respectable sin because it's culturally accepted, it's universally laughed at, normally indulged. But there's a lack of conviction whenever we're doing this. You know it's a respectable sin or a cultural idol whenever we make memes and laugh at memes about it. I was telling Caleb, just search procrastination memes, and they're out there. We know that we can laugh at it. That means it's a cultural idol. We're always in a hurry. We're overworked. We're a victim of our circumstances. The one that I mentioned that I found pretty humorous was, if I wait till the last minute, I will be older and therefore wiser. But do you see how that got a chuckle? It's one of these things that whenever we consider being in a hurry, being overworked, it's culturally acceptable to live in that condition. But whenever we're in that, that means that we're also cutting out the things that we should be doing or are good to do. We're missing that opportunity. Procrastination is most often putting off the work for the sake of other work. So it's not laziness like I just laid there. It's typically found in that we fill our time with other activity. So it's not the image of laziness, but of irresponsibility. We do other activities that are less important. But if you would, turn to James chapter 4. Because if procrastination does not show up in the concordance of sins, what is it called? So let's look at James chapter 4, starting in verse 13. You have a fill-in there regarding the main issue that we hear through this passage. James chapter 4, starting in verse 13, he says, "Come now, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit.' Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or do that.' As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." Now, as he starts there in verse 13, you know, as he says, "You who say today or tomorrow," that he's not, what he's not saying there is like, this is the point, that you have an odd schedule or that you're missing it. But it is noted that people in that James is addressing here are free with their time. What they do today or tomorrow is of no real consequence. We can do whatever we want. Time has no authority over us. But it's verse 14, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. If time is short and fleeting, what is James communicating here whenever he's saying you do not know what tomorrow will bring? The main issue here is presumption. To presume. So definition of presumption, to suppose something is true based on probability or reasonable evidence rather than direct proof. So consider that. To suppose something is true based on probability or reasonable evidence rather than on direct proof. Because this could go positive or negative. To use the word presume does not mean only negative. If we were to assume something, that means that we have no evidence, we have no probability, no reasonable evidence. So we're just out of our own mind assuming. To presume has a level of, I'm going to play the odds here. I think I know how this is going to go. I think I know how this is going to work out. So as I had said, not all matters of misprioritization are sinful. But it's whenever we are in that posture of saying, I'm not going to do this today because I know that I'll have time to do it tomorrow. And then what we do today is not redeeming of the time. We just waste it, waiting on tomorrow, waiting to get there, presuming that tomorrow is going to be a better day for the activity. Tomorrow is going to be better for this. Let me cross-reference this with Romans 2:4, because whenever you search presume, which is in the scriptures, you find it several times. Romans 2:4 is one of these. Every time you find the word presume or presumption, it's always in the negative. So it sounds like this, Romans 2:4. Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? So why does God give us time? So that we would waste it? It's a grace period of such for this purpose. Not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. The Lord gives us time for the sake of changing, for the sake of repenting. So it's presumptuous to believe that the Lord is going to give us more time to do what he's given us time right now to do. So it's not that we're reprioritizing, it's that we're neglecting out of presumption. We think, well, I have more time, and the time that I now have, I will tend to other things, personal things. And from what James is saying here, in not thinking that by my neglect, that the time is actually accruing to me as sin. Verse 16 of back in James chapter 4. As James is laying this out, he says, as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. The connotations here, I mean, he gives the statement there. It's evil. Verse 17, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. And it really is. It's the matter of, I know what I should be doing. I know what the Lord has called me to do. I know what I need to cut out of my schedule so that I can put this in my schedule so that I would do the best thing. I would do the right thing. But taking verse 17 there, I mean, how universally applicable that is, that how often we know the right thing to do and then we fail to do that. We often think that that is just, I ran out of time, I was busy, other things came up. That is true. So it's not the immediate moment that I was not able to follow through, immediate sinful. It's cultivating a lifestyle that lives in a way that presumes on God. It presumes that He is going to give us more time. I had a quote here. I pulled a few quotes that I remember from the past that were good, but I did not know this came from a Christian rapper. So I will not rap this for your safety. His name was Trip Lee. He said, to put it simply, procrastination is pride because it assumes you know the future. But we don't know when our health will decline, our lives will end. We don't even know for sure when life will get busier. We put it off presuming that we know the future and we know what we're owed and we know what we can fit in that. And I'm not going to do, I'm just going to indulge myself today. I'm just going to watch another game. I'm just going to scroll deeper into the doom. I'm just going to go do this other piddly project. That has consequences because what we're putting in there is taking away from what we could or should be doing. Turn also to Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16. And this is very similar to Colossians 4 or 5. So I'll read both of them. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. In Colossians 4, 5, he says very similar. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of time. So holding on to that Ephesians 5 passage. The KJV renders this, walk circumspectly. I don't know how common that is for us today, but what is the picture of walking circumspectly? What would it look like in your life if you were to walk in such a manner? Do I have any KJV folks? Okay, looking around, not just in general, like taking in the sights. Okay, intentionally looking, inspecting, but watching with the closeness that you would be able to stay on the path. So in that, as you're going through and you're looking at the next step, you're to walk circumspectly is to look at this from all angles, make sure that it has the integrity for which I'm now going to place my weight on. So walking circumspectly is an investigative life. We're paying attention. The main issue that Paul puts here in Ephesians 5 is the matter of wisdom. So he says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. So all of a sudden, we go from just having a life that we just kind of go through. And it's not, I mean, I just, you know, live today. You know, what'd you do today? I don't know. Well, Paul puts that in the category then of wisdom and foolishness, because to walk any day and just say, well, you know, this is an off day. Well, the Lord gave it for your stewardship. And as you go, walk about circumspectly to investigate those steps as you go is a matter of wisdom. To just throw a day off and say, just going to cruise around my life is in the category of foolishness. If we're not careful, we are operating. And is that our default? Default for mankind is in the foolish category. We're not naturally godly. We have to strive for that. But the danger here is that it will often feel busy. So to lessen the blow of neglecting what God has called you to do, what do we most often put in its place? Good works, don't we? We're not going to neglect the things that the Lord has called us to and then just blatantly sin. We do other good things to lessen the blow. I mean, is that fair? We, as Danielle had mentioned, well, there's other things that come up. We have to do the things that are our immediate needs. And if we live a lifestyle like this, where we're always just living in the moment, we can comfort ourselves that this big thing, this thing that is absolutely there for us to do of responsibility, pay my bills. We put that off because we're over here meddling in all of these other things. And we can comfort ourselves, if we're not careful, by saying, well, I was doing good things all day. And is that not a sense of a works-based righteousness? I'm doing good things to help comfort me from the reality that I've actually neglected the weightier matters. And we know that's the case is because how many have prayed prayers such as this? Lord, I could do this today, but I'm going to put it off until tomorrow. However, please bless today. Lord, I'm not going to pay my bills this month, but please bless this money that you've given me. We don't pray that way. We begin thinking through, how could I justify this? I'm not doing it. How could I make this sound so that I'm not... And whenever our minds begin going there, we know that we're trying to cover for something. Something we've neglected. Something we've missed. And this is much of what, you know, as men, we want to hear this, especially in the foundations class. So I don't know if I'll get any additional signups after today, but wives, if it would help, this is what we're here for. John Piper made this statement. He said, the myth of procrastination is that somehow it will be easier later. The truth is it's never easy, and putting it off only makes it harder. And I think that gets a hearty amen. The third one that I had listed here was Psalm 90, verse 12. And this is Moses. You're familiar with this verse. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Moses putting the image out there is that to number our days, there's a sense of a countdown. But that should spur us on to hard work. It should spur us on to responsibility, to efficiency. Many of us think and find ourselves to think that if our back's to the wall, that that's whenever we do our best work. It's not. This has its effect on others. So if you are at work and you are procrastinating, you're missing deadlines, there's worry and fear of the consequences, you're unprepared for any changes that may come along. Management starts to think certain things about you. But it also, doesn't it communicate something? Consider if you've ever worked on a group project, whenever there's procrastinators, it gets to you. And it communicates something about them. But also, if you're quick to follow through on the things that you have just in life, then you're setting yourself up to be the first one in line. You're setting yourself up to be the first one who gets noticed. You have the ability to change or alter direction if needed. If it's in the matter of our relationships, it weakens them. It communicates a lack of commitment. And we think of how others affect us with their procrastination. We don't want to return that. And the other one, if we consider where it is in the home, on how it just weakens the structure. It costs us money. For some, it actually costs the actual weakening of the home itself. If we don't address that foundation, then everything begins to move and begins to crumble. But it's because procrastination, by putting off, by neglect, by thinking and presuming, oh, I've got more time. That's not a time management issue. That's a spiritual issue. to say that the Lord, and you have this there in your notes, procrastination is the prideful belief that God owes you the chance to do, the chance tomorrow to do what he gave you the chance to do today. To say that my neglect of my responsibilities will be of no consequence. I found this very interesting. Has anybody heard, not Parkinson's, like we often hear it, but Parkinson's Law. Has anybody heard of that? I thought this was very fascinating. So this started out as satire, but this was in the mid-1950s, a British economist. He set out to explain why work expands to fill the allotted time for its completion. He said, why is it that if you had a two-hour task given 4 hours to complete, it takes 4 hours instead of two? Why is it that time expands? Well, and this was part of his thesis. He said, one, you find an obligation to use the time allotted to its fullest. So we want to do our best. A lack of urgency that we spend endless revisions in seeking perfection. And then a delayed start time. Whenever I have plenty of time, I end up waiting until which minute? The last one. And so he gave a pretty comical example of somebody who would say, oh, well, this will only take me 10 minutes. And so then they take their sweet old time getting started, their sweet time doing this. Oh, well, I want to revise this. I think I could say it better. Oh, I could look for a way to perfect that. And all of a sudden, that 20-minute task now it takes the entire day to complete. And I thought, how easy is that for us? Those two best friends, whether it's laziness or fear, they walk hand in hand telling you, you probably can't do this, so you shouldn't try. And there we are, putting off that which is good, or just filling the time with activity. But I also think that he touches on a spiritual problem. He just does not have a spiritual solution for it. So these are often our thought patterns. Well, I just need to rest right now. Whenever something big, something monumental, something important, caring for the home, addressing a relationship, seeking peace with somebody, tackling the big project that we know is of good stewardship, addressing the things that are of biblical importance, we think, well, I just need to rest right now. What do you do during that rest time most often? What was that?
It's a doom scroll.
Doom scroll? Well, it's embedded in there. We end up doing the things that do not produce rest. So there may be a legitimate time that you say, hey, I need to take a rest right here, and then engage in the actual activity that would rejuvenate you. What would, for a Christian, bring about rest and rejuvenation? Okay, time in His Word, time in prayer, solitude, quietness, sleep, naps, of course. But it's a responsible ordering of my life to say, this is a big task. I'm going to have to be ready for it. Let me do now a preparation. I'm not putting that off. I have it planned. And that's where, for the men here, we have that plan to say, this is what it is, the activity. This is when I'm going to do it. I'm not neglecting it. It's that I can't get to it right now because I have to prepare for it. Yes, that would be a great thing we'd love to do. Let us address the finances that would get us there so that we're not in debt whenever we purchase it. Let me take some time off work so that I would get the sleep in to be able to address such a monumental problem. That's not procrastination. That's not neglect. That is proper preparation. Some of our thought patterns, it may be that the silver bullet, that's my term, It's only going to take me 5 minutes. Okay, only the men laughed there. Wives, does it only take him 5 minutes? It always takes longer than I thought it would. We think, well, all I have to do is this, or, oh, that's going to be simple. But if it's simple, then why not do it now? It's just going to take you 5 minutes. Why not spend those next 5 minutes? In our mind, it's, oh, no problem. But instead of saying no problem and then addressing it, we say, put it off for later. I'm going to do this over here. What would be honorable and demonstrate the leadership to others is to say, that'll only take me 5 minutes. Let me go and do it right now. Or hold that. This is going to take 5 minutes. Let me finish this and then go to that. But whenever we put it off thinking, oh, well, this is just a simple solution, we then in our minds end up putting things off so far that they do not become, or that they don't actually get accomplished. That doesn't always work for time-sensitive tasks, as I mentioned. Some we need to rejuvenate. Another that was mentioned is the tyranny of the urgent. Every day, we wake up, and what does God throw at us? And that's what we address. So, dogs barking, kids screaming, phones ringing. We address everything as it comes. There's big things that we want to get to, but right now I find myself going through and putting out all of these small fires, thinking as soon as I get them all out, then I will address the big issue. Wives and mothers, does that actually happen? Do you ever get done with the day and say, well, I've got all the time now as a routine in life? Or do new things get set on fire? That was metaphoric. I know it is possible. Not always metaphoric. Whenever you have little ones, they just set it on fire themselves. But we take that big ticket item and we push it off, and that what we find is that we've put it off indefinitely. And you have this there in your notes. Often, good is prioritized over great. I'm not doing nothing. It's that what I found was I was addressing all of these small things, not looking towards the big thing to say, these are small. I'm going to address it in a way that you can handle it, because I have to address a larger topic. I need to follow through with this big home, whatever it may be. The stairs are falling in. The fridge is broke. Whatever it may be. I need to do that to take good stewardship of my home. But if we put that off and say, well, I'll get it later today. I'll get it right after work. They don't close till 9. I'll be free this weekend. I think they're having a Memorial Day sale, right? Or a Black Friday. That's whenever they'll have. You know what? For a Christmas gift, I will. And all of a sudden, now you've gone 8 months without a refrigerator. We think, well, I just want to manage my money well. I don't know that that's really what we're damaging. But as men, what we're damaging is our leadership. And that's the thing that we really want to take hold of. We can do all of these other wonderful things, but if what's right in front of us that the Lord's given us to be responsible for, this task we're neglecting, whatever is in its place had better be better. And that thing had better be scheduled so that even though it's not happening right now, I'm showing the leadership that you can follow to know that as I give my word, it's trustworthy. Or for some, the thought is, oh, well, I can't change now. I already made it through 4 years of college, and I'm 23. I can't change careers now. I promise, if that thought occurs to you, you will change career 5 times in your life. We're not in that era where you're at the same job forever. But there are some that reach a certain age that they just kind of shift it into neutral and think, well, I'm just going to ride out my years, and the way it is the way it is. Broken relationship, you know what? Let's just shift it into neutral. And we could tell ourselves a lot of probable things. Well, they'll initiate it. Well, when they're ready. All of these thoughts that we bring to ourselves that we can shift it into neutral, and you do that at 65, how long are you going to live? It may be 65.1, but it also may be, I mean, let's not limit ourselves. Some of these guys in the scriptures were living to 900 years. Think of how much time you'll have in retirement if you retired at 65. Yeah, procrastination is not a time management issue. It is a spiritual issue. The world says you cannot change. You know, in the world, we would say, as soon as this kid sleeps through the night, as soon as you start acting right, then I will. As soon as I get the time, then I will. As soon as I retire, as soon as I start making $100,000 a year, as soon as... Well, 2026 is already pretty much over, so let's start at the next year. It's not as soon as, it may be, if only. If only I could get into a better routine. If only my spouse would. If only I had a different job, a different boss, a different house, a different metabolism, a different income, different interests, different skill level. If only the world would change, then I would. All of those are our thoughts, but what is functionally happening is that this good thing, stewardship of my body, when I get to that point, then I will. And we put it off, we put it off, we put it off, we put it off. If you would take your notes and flip over to the other side, godly remedy to procrastination. This is where we're going to spend our last several minutes. And I want these to. I wanted this to be something, as I would do with our men in foundations, is to give this something you could fold in half and keep in your Bible, but that would go with you so that whenever you find it in the future, whenever it you find it posted on the refrigerator, that it would be that encouragement to you to recommit to the good steps that the Lord would have for us. So I threw some of these together, and let's consider them. Well, one of the remedies which should be first place is repentance. So God expects fruitfulness for His kingdom and not yours. So we were saved for good works, but consider also what we looked at there in Ephesians 5. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. If we have so habituated this as a life practice, and it doesn't take decades to do, it could take weeks, months, to set yourself on a trajectory that would build this as a lifestyle, there really is a repentance that has to take place. We have to stop reaffirming for ourselves that it's too hard today, it'll be easier tomorrow. I promise. Today has enough anxieties of its own, and tomorrow will have more. But there's a level of repentance in this because it is building a lifestyle that we could not defend before the Lord as being honorable. I neglected, I neglected, I neglected, I neglected. We can make a reasonable case, but I did all of these things over here. Does that start to sound familiar of another passage of Scripture? Well, I did all of these wonderful things over here, but the weightier matters you neglected. There's several that fall in that category of if we put these things off for tomorrow, we should have no firm expectation that tomorrow will provide the opportunity. A second there is humble oneself. Time is short, and only the things that God has given us to do will last, as Moses has said there. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. how often we talk about the things that are now gone in the time frame. Men, you consider raising children, and you see at 18 or 20 where deficiencies are. It's an ache in the soul to see that, oh, to the best of my ability, this is where they are. We still have the opportunity to continue ministering. You know, it's not as though 20 years old is the end of everything. But there's a humility to say, to all of the best of my efforts, this is what I presented as my parenting. I think if we were to take stock of where we are right now and consider the things of today and what we've spent our time on today, it would kick us into a higher gear to really embrace the matters of faithfulness from the scriptures. I don't think we would not take it down a notch. I don't think there's any man in here who would say, I'm parenting a little too good. I need to back this off. I am just too faithful at work. They don't deserve it. The humility is that the Lord has put restraints on me. I'm restrained by time. I'm restrained by energy. I'm restrained in many ways. So the last thing I want to do is waste it. If the Lord has numbered my days, I want to be wise and get a heart of wisdom. Third, consider your limits. Seek proper stewardship of time, energy, health, resources. Romans 12:3, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So the Lord, this doesn't say think horribly of yourself, but to have a reasonable understanding of what the Lord has given you and qualified you, gifted you to do. Maximize that. He has put limits on you. Fourth, develop godly priorities. Prioritize great things over good things. James 4:17. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. There are times where we have to put down good, like set aside good activities or things that may be prosperous, things that may bless, for a greater matter of responsibility. We have to be willing to say, not all good things come from me, but there are good and great things that the Lord has. Or just because I can think it up doesn't mean that it has to be accomplished by me. There are good things we're going to have to set aside because we have to be faithful and good stewards of what God has given us to do. Also pray. Tomorrow we'll be busy too, and God has given today's time and conviction for this task. As Christ said in Matthew 6:34, sufficient for the day is its own trouble. In this last one, start now. So this is a bit of a practical step. You will be more likely, if you start now, to one, follow through if it's already started. If you're going to do it and it's a good idea, do it now. Just do it now. Because what happens whenever you then delay? What was a, oh yeah, I'll give that. And then you wait a week, you wait a month, and all of a sudden, you never did what you intended to do. But whenever you just get started, sometimes you can cruise right through because you already have this momentum. But starting now, you'd be more likely to visualize how to finish or to gain insight while thinking about how to finish it. So a big project, should you open the book at 11 p.m., 60 minutes before it's due, 59 minutes now before it's due? So just practically speaking, if I had something to do in a week, I'm going to set about getting it started now so that as I go, I have new ideas. I'm writing them down. I'm thinking through it in my free time. Whenever thoughts come to mind, now I've already got the outline. Midweek, I'm writing down a few things or organizing, putting the outline together so that then come near the end, once I've had all of this experience, because, hey, new things are going to fall into that. New things come about. Things change. Now I'm here. I'm not starting from zero, but I'm starting from 50% done. 75% done. It's a home project. You're going out there, you're buying everything, bringing it all home, making sure you have everything there on site so that your day is not ruined by, we got to go to the store, so let's just call it a quit today. You know, as you start now, you begin to see the finish line and plan for it. And also, third, if these other steps are in place, then finish what you start and ask for help when you need it. God has finished everything that he started. Who was it that said, "It is finished"? But yet is more being done? Christ did all that was of the most importance. He did everything that God called him to do. All of the work needed that God had put in front of him was complete. Yet, many more things still needed to be done. But Christ did the most important. We likewise can following these steps by doing those things that the Lord has given us to do that are the most important. That end there is for you, but let's pray and be prepared for worship. Lord, we thank you for a God who has finished all things for us. But Lord, you've given us work to do. You've called us to these good works. May we be the people who go about doing them of good encouragement. But Lord, this also is the platform needed to foster the leadership for greater things. As men, we want our family to follow. We want to see fruit at the proper time for our children, for our wives, for ourselves. Lord, may we be the men who go about doing good, demonstrating this leadership, and not being afraid of those tasks that are large, difficult, troublesome. But may we be faithful. Our God is with us. Prepare us for worship. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.